All right, we are here, we are Galexis, and welcome to our Q&A of June 2021. And we have some interesting questions. Lots of stuff is going on in the world and in personal lives. So much turbulence, so much new stuff coming in. We just want to make mention very briefly before we begin answering the questions that 2021 is a visionary kind of year. This is a year where you begin to really look at your future, and you look at it in a very deliberate way, wanting to go there, wanting to aim there, wanting to move there. It was pretty much precipitated by the portal in February. And so if you all haven't seen that and seen that blog that we did about the portal, you might want to just kind of pretend it's February. Go back there in your mind and go through the portal and allow yourself to be ready to explore new futures, new ways, new tracks of reality are opening up. Because you are envisioning them, because there are visionaries who are working to look at the future. Now, some of these visionaries don't have a positive view of the future, and they will warn you of horrible and negative potentials to come. But then, like we often say to people who basically worry and fret about the future, you've been trained to think negatively about the future. You've been trained in your growing up to try and avoid bad things. So you look at, well, what could go wrong? And then you try to take the steps to protect yourself, defend yourself, bolster your capacity, get things done, make choices, and so on. So most of your choices that you learn to make growing up are fear-based choices, based on, well, I want to avoid that, so let me make this choice. This choice will enable me, this action will enable me to avoid, you know, falling down in some pit or losing all my money or whatever it is. It will save me. And we want to say, when working with the future, which is what this year is essentially is about, you don't want to go there. You don't want to start there. You want to make positive growth choices. You want to imagine and dream and envision what you want ahead. You want to do it from a place of power, you see. Because if you feel powerless, of course, then you're worried that the political machinations are going to destroy everything, that you will never be able to survive, blah, 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 and all the negative stuff can become really in your face. Now, we're going to address this a bit more because one of you dear ones has asked a question about it. But the point we want to make now is that you want to start with the future and then work back. It's kind of like reverse engineering. You have a great, great product, but you don't have access to the patent of it, or some greedy tycoon has the patent. So you find a skillful engineer to reverse engineer it and find out, oh, what is this? How does it work? Oh, great, now I can access it. The reverse engineering of the future is available to everyone and is essentially the way we would begin looking at and perceiving the future. Now, you may say, wait a minute, if we don't look at the negative possibilities, aren't we being irresponsible? Aren't we being in la-la land? Aren't we being in fantasy? Aren't we just, if we imagine a utopia, I mean, it's just not possible. And I'm just one person, and how can I have a utopia when it looks like the world is going to hell in a handbasket? Well, we sense that's just the same reaction that you've been trained to give. Is you're trained not to think of a utopia. Look at all your movies. When they look at the future, how many of them show a positive future? Well, generally, none of them. Every now and then you see one, or you see a positive future in some kind of sci-fi thing after they've had to go through all the horrible destruction and so forth of the old. And we want to say that when you're envisioning the future, it does not require the destruction of the old. It does not require that. But you assume that and believe that because that's what you are told. So when you're wanting to work with the future, dear ones, please start with the future. The future you want. If you work there, if you anchor your energies there, if you choose that in an empowered state, then, and here's a little, tidbit of consciousness for you, you create your own reality. And what that means is not just your personal life gets better when you envision a positive future, but you create your whole reality. You can do it unconsciously by assuming that negative things are going to happen, and then they do, and you go, yeah, I knew that. But you can also do it from the positive. And as you move towards that positive, step after step, you move towards that positive future that you are dreaming. My golly, the whole world starts to shift. Now, it doesn't happen instantly, but you'll see it. You'll see information about how this new device or new invention is able to create energy and so forth and so on. Okay, so you'll see the glimpses. You'll see that people are working on it everywhere. You'll see that other people are envisioning and looking for the same kind of answers. And this will continue as long as you stay focused on the future. This will continue. This will continue. This will continue. Now, that doesn't mean you ignore what's going on in the world. That doesn't mean that you ignore difficult things, or you withdraw from, politics, personal or professional or national or international altogether. What you do, though, is that you patiently and with consciousness pay attention to them, respond to the best of your ability, knowing in your mind, and we've said this over and over again, all is going according to plan, and it will all turn out well. Now, some of you just cannot believe that. Just absolutely cannot believe that. It's going to turn out well. No. What kind of miraculous intervention is God going to have to do so that things can turn out well? Well, you are God in training. One of the reasons you came here to this planet is to learn how to create. You had to learn how to create from scratch. It was one of your missions. So create from scratch. Create from your heart, your heart's desire. Look at what it is you want. You know, Maslow, years ago, last century, put together what he called the hierarchy of needs, that every human being has these needs. Now, survival is the primary need. You want to dream a future where you are not focused on survival, okay? You want to look at the higher octave needs that Maslow talked about, as a way of putting an anchor into a visionary future for you. And that is connection to the divine. That is feeling a sense of purpose. You see, finding your truth, living your truth, finding your community, your people, your community. There's so much that's beyond survival. But the economic situation, the political situation, keeps everyone focused on survival. This is going to lead to what kind of future? What kind of future if everybody's struggling for survival, except some oligarchs, and they're just struggling for more dominance? What's the future of that? Right? So you know that's no good, but you're a powerful reality creator. You don't own it most of the time, but you are. So later today, we're going to take you on a little journey, a little guided journey to put an anchor into the future, into a light future, a luminous future, a luminous new world for you. And then you can bring the collective along. You can bring the world along with you, all right? So, starting off with that, saying that, we're going to turn to the questions. The ones that came in before today are, Daniel has printed out for us. So we're going to go down through them in the order in which they came in. And when we're done with that, then Daniel will address the questions that you're putting in the chat box, okay, chat room. All right, the first question is from Carl, and he says here, at some point I need to see my commercial properties in LA and presumably buy something else like a camp or a retreat that I can build out. What do you think of this idea? And does this pertain to my life's purpose? Am I only coming from ego, or do I generally have something to do that leaves a positive impression on society? All right, now, Carl, we do recommend for personal questions of this sort that you get a private session, because it's not fair for us to address your personal stuff with other people on, you know, on this seminar. So, but what we would like to say to that, okay, is that a camp or retreat, the reason you would choose something like that is probably because of some financial concern or some social concern that you do have. So what you want to do is to take out of your future image stuff that is like, okay, here's the compromise I can make so I can survive. Yes, you want to think about your survival. You want to think about your money. You don't want it to run out. But you do need to make sure that what choices that you're making are coming from growth choices, coming from positive reality creatorship, and not from, oh, how can I scramble here to survive? Okay, so that was just illustrating what we were just talking about. And then you were talking about, do I generally have something to do that leaves a positive impression on society? Now, everyone wonders about this one, okay? And we've talked about this many times. You have two missions in life. There may be way more than that, but two major themes of missions. One mission is to become self-realized, to know yourself. Man, know thyself. To know that you are divine, to know that you are God, Goddess, all that is in training, to know that you are a reality creator, to know that you are, that you have value, that you are lovable, that you are worthy, that you deserve respect, and that you can respect the Mother Earth, and you can receive the bounty and the blessings from the Earth, because you and the Earth and the world and your reality are harmonious, because you can allow your reality to be your friend and not your competitor, not some kind of externally created struggle that you must endure. Right? So the first one is loving and valuing yourself, owning who you are, being that person that you are, being authentic, being real to you. Okay? That's your major mission. And this mission also is connected to your return home to the divine. Your journey through lifetime after lifetime, you have the opportunity for it to come to an end. Not because, oh gosh, I hate this world, I can't stand it anymore, I've suffered too much, I want to come home. No, but okay, let's create a reality starting with myself. Well, I'll start a reality with myself and get myself and value and love and my truth and know me. I'm going to know me and own who I am and make decisions from that place. Okay, then you're able to reach for the divine, being divine by your nature, to open up to guidance from your divine unseen friends, from God, Goddess, all that is, to ascend into greater consciousness. As long as your focus is on survival, you cannot ascend to greater consciousness. You just simply can't. They're kind of antagonistic, because if you're in survival, you're in a place where you don't really believe and own that you are divine. Because if you really knew you were divine, survival is assured. You are being supported by the divine, and you need to let it in. But you often cannot receive it because you don't acknowledge that you're divine. You don't acknowledge that you're valuable, worthy, lovable, that you can receive. That it's okay to receive. It's your birthright as a divine being to receive wonderful things, whether they be material things, spiritual things, everything, love, joy, all of that stuff. You can receive it if you own who you are. This is your mission. This is your primary mission while you're here. And from this place, you can decide, I want to come back in another lifetime and be a teacher, and I want to help humanity. Or you could say, all right, I'm just going to go in a blaze of glory this time. Yahoo! I'm going home. Now, there is another mission, a second theme. And this is the one, Carl, that you are asking about. The second theme is an elective. You know, when you go to college, you take required courses, and then you have a certain number of electives you can take that, according to your interest and curiosity, you can pick up, that are not part of your degree. They're just your interests, okay? So you have an elective. An elective that this, your elective mission is, okay, in my process of returning home to the divine, in my ascension beyond birth and death, in this lifetime, the blaze of glory I want to go out in, okay, it's going to be me making a difference in the world. My heart bleeds for the world. There's so much pain and suffering. There's so much amazing things that need to be done. Maybe I think I will do something that's based on my heart, my skills, my interests, my preferences. So I'm going to do a mission for the world too. Now, most people who are on their consciousness journey tend to do both. Okay, they know that they're owning who they are and coming home as the soul that they are. But they also have love and compassion for the world. And instead of just being only focused on themselves, which they could be, there's no judgment about it. They feel, I really feel I want to give something. I want to give something back to the world. I want to help the world. I want to lift the world. Now, just by you going home, you lift your world. You lift it all. So you can do it just by your meditations, by your own personal spiritual work. Or you can have some kind of outer format, some kind of way of sharing with the world. You can do that. So what we would suggest is that, Carl, that you have this kind of sense that you do have something important to give. And as a conscious being, and this is always a tricky thing for conscious beings to look at, is this some ego in me? Is this me thinking I'm some hot stuff? That I'm important beyond, you know, other people? No, not necessarily. You see, when you recognize that you are divine by your nature, you'll come into the awareness of your majesty of yourself, of your magnificence, of the amazing, amazing light that you are. This is not ego. This is just who you are. But you've been trained to think it's maybe egotistical. People who are on the spiritual path have gotten so trapped by figuring out, is it ego or not? Well, it's if you are aware of your divine nature, if you see it that way, it's not. You're basically out of your love and compassion, out of your desire to serve. A lot of people feel a divine call to service, and it's beautiful. Not everyone does, and there's no judgment against you if you do or don't. Okay, you just, when you serve humanity, you want to serve it as a divine being. You don't want to serve it as some kind of, as some kind of martyr, sacrificial person. You don't want to give up your luminosity thinking that maybe that will enable you to make connection with and bring people up. You go down into the ditch with them and pull them out of the ditch. No, basically what you do is you stand outside the ditch and say, come, come. You hold a resonance. And then you can do that mission without ego, okay? Now, I've had several careers and sense another coming. Can you help me flesh it out? Dear one, that is a personal reading kind of thing. That would be, we would look at your personal life tracks and figure it out with you and flesh it out with you. But we're not going to do that here. We're sorry. I yearn for initiation to the higher planes, or at least more connected to Source. How am I doing? Where might I find my next path? All right. There are a lot of people, particularly this year, that are yearning for higher plane connection. And it's coming. It's coming. One of the things we would just suggest is for you in meditation to get in touch with your spiritual team. Now, we did a seminar on that with a meditation where you get in touch with and connect with your spiritual team. And so we would recommend that you do that one and then do that same meditation on your own. You don't have to listen to ours over and over unless you really want to. But you then get to know your own team. so that you can call them in on a daily basis and communicate with them and begin to receive interactions, guidance, etc. with them. Now, what you can do there is then you can ask and say, I'm open for my path to a higher level. I'm ready to ascend in consciousness, and I want to have a connection. I want to have guidance. You know, in the East, they say, when the student is ready, the teacher appears. So what you want to do is work with your guides, ask them, meditate, get yourself as much in awareness of your divine self as you can be, and keep asking and say, please bring this to me, and I request it. And you begin to expect that somehow or another, you're being guided. Your reality is your friend. Your team is working for you. And they're going to put the connections together out of sight. You won't see it. You won't know that it's coming. There's no linear way to tune into these. And then, at some point, you'll click in to the next path, a path that gives you greater access, greater expansion, okay? That's when you'll know that you're ready, you know? Okay, I get inklings of creating a healing modality called the peacemaker process. Is this something to pursue? Will it bring me the satisfaction that has mostly eluded me so far? All right, we're going to make this a general question, is that you're having a specific format that you think that would really be good for you, that it would give you some fulfillment and satisfaction. And hopefully also that it could make you some money. It could enable you to enjoy doing what you want to do and receiving income from it. But the thing is, the hidden part of this question is that you've done all sorts of things, but you don't get satisfaction out of them for some reason, okay? You need to look at why don't you feel satisfied? Are the things that you've done been some kind of compromise on your part, a fear choice and not a growth choice? Have the things that you've done being dependent on, the fulfillment being dependent on other people supporting you or being enthusiastic about it or getting lots of excitement and making a lot of money on it? Where do you get your fulfillment from what you do? And you need to think about that. You need to look at it. Okay, why did these not fulfill me? What was I looking for? What did I think was going to give me the fulfillment? It could be some outer validation. You wanted validation from the world in some way, or from a spiritual teacher that you might have known, or from some kind, or through psychics or whatever, to say, yes, this is it, this is it. You have to be able to figure that one out. Now, in a private reading, we can see some of this stuff. But as we said, we're responding to it in general because a lot of people have great ideas. But just because you have a great idea doesn't mean that you should go for it. Even though you have a great idea that humanity needs, first you have to decide, who am I? Does this match who I am? Is this something that I can enjoy doing regardless of how much approval I get, how much money I get, how much love I get for it from the outside? Okay, you need to look at that choice. How do I become a vehicle for source and still excel in the victor state? Now, we're not quite sure what you mean by the victor state. Okay. Victor state, of course, essentially, from what we can tell, is just not being a victim. Okay. When you're not a victim, you're a victor. It's kind of either or. really. It's like, a person can't be half dead. They're either dead or alive, you know. Even they can't be half, maybe pregnant, half pregnant, no. If you're a victim, of course, or you perceive yourself powerless in any way, of course you cannot be a really good vehicle for Source. If you want to be a vehicle for Source, and you want to serve, you want to channel this light, this incredible divine love and light through you, then we would suggest you go and study with various teachers. There's books on the market on how to heal. There are various workshops you can take. The channel and Daniel took a touch for a quantum touch. That was gave them really ideas. You know, Reiki does stuff. There's all sorts of healing systems. We suggest you play around and try out a few of them until you get the common denominator in them. Okay, when you get the common denominator, then you say, okay. Because part of the process of learning any healing system is to learn how to channel the energy from Source. Maybe you even want to give messages. Maybe you want to channel your team or your higher self or some high a level entity, you know, then take course, their courses in how to be a channel. Okay, so you want to be very conscious about the form and the format and the method that you use to channel the energy in. Of course, as a spiritual being, you're always doing it to some extent or another. It would be good to recognize what you already do and take away any judgments about yourself that you may have that are obstructing your awareness of that, and just allow it to come through and allow yourself to be flexible. Allow yourself to flow. All right? And you'll find what comes to you, what's going to be there. There's a lot more that can be said for you personally, which we're not going to do. But and then this one, what is it I need to hear right now? What am I missing? What messages do my spirit team have for me? We're not going to answer that one because that's a private reading thing. Okay? So thank you, Carl, for that. And Valerie Carpenter is asking a question here. I'm desperately concerned with what's happening politically and socially in the U.S. I try not to see things in black and white, but with the relentless effort being perpetrated to spread falsehood, agglomerate power, restrict liberty, and destroy democracy by one side of the political spectrum, it becomes more challenging by the day. It seems like an epic battle between good and evil, and the polarity is pulling our society apart. But simply, the question is, will our democracy survive? What will be the impact on our planet if it doesn't? And how can we, as citizens and healers, continue to thrive through such a chaotic time? Well, now that's a really juicy question. Now, we want to refer you to some of our video blogs. So if you go on the website, we would suggest that you look out October 2019 and July 2020, because that has pieces of what you can do. And in a sense, answers it partly, this question partly. But what we want to point out here is that by you saying that that it's being perpetrated and so forth by one side of the political spectrum reveals that you're not seeing the whole picture. You're seeing one side as doing all this bad stuff and your side is the good side, okay? So yeah, you've created good versus evil and it doesn't work like that, okay? The political spectrum, whether you're a Democrat or a Republican, whether you're liberal, progressive, socialist, or whether you're conservative, libertarian, whatever, okay? It doesn't matter, in a sense. You hold a certain point of view in which you've put the other side as other. You've othered each other. When you're on the right wing, you're assuming that people on the left wing are being totally bamboozled and mind screwed by the mainstream media. That's one of the biggest things that the right wing has to complain about, is that all these people, they're just brain dead. They're believing everything the mainstream media says, and they're becoming like lambs to the slaughter, and they're being dominated, and it's all going to turn into communism and whatever, and all our freedoms are going to be taken away. Everybody's going to be obedient, follow the state, and blah, 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 blah. And then on the left, they're looking out the right wing and saying, oh my gosh, they think fascism is liberty and freedom. They think that freedom is about being able to be nasty and kill people and hurt people, that's being free. Okay, that they, you know, hate immigrants. They think only, you know, white male Americans have the privileges and should take America back so it can be like it was in the 50s. There was a lot of socialism in the 50s, by the way. But there's this whole sense of wanting to get back to, all right? So the left is looking at it and saying, what is it that they keep wanting to be violent? They're into guns. They want the police are being brutal. They're shooting before they think. They're taking training to kill people, you know. And they will bow down and obey anything that Trump says or any of the. And they're all like pod people. Michael Moore called the Republicans pod people because they just, if you don't follow the party line, then you get absolutely destroyed. Now, the thing is that all of that is top down. When the right is looking at the left, it's all top down. Both sides are terrified. Now, the left can feel the terror and the fear. The right, No, you've got to be more masculine. You've got to have more machismo, more guts, okay? So you're not allowed to feel fear, even though the right wing is terrified of the left and of socialist policy and so on. You have to be angry. You have to have rage. You have to identify with the rebels of 1776. You have to turn over this government. You've got to get rid of this government. Okay. So what makes the two sides opposing each other so difficult to cross? Why is that boundary so separated? Is because in duality, which is what your illusion here on the physical plane is all about, that's where you have good versus evil, right versus wrong. Okay. Now, how do you fix these? Well, first of all, the right wing is just as mind screwed and just as obedient to right wing media as liberals are to left wing or to mainstream media. Both sides have got to recognize that they've been dominated by a philosophy that is not for their well-being necessarily. They're dominated by a philosophy in which, on the left, that the government will take care of the problems of society. The right is dominated by that we're going to get the right strong leaders in, and that'll take care of society. Neither way is going to work. right now, the Biden is in office, and there's some changes that are being made that are opening up and liberalizing the a little bit, not much, but the right wing is still stuck to this. It has to be exactly the way we say it, with our definitions and so on, or else we're going to get our guns and we're going to take over. Now, when you go to extremism like that, you don't see what's really going on the other side. You have an enemy, i.e. the government. Okay. On the left, they look over at the right, and our enemy of democracy is all these people who are doing voter suppression, gerrymandering, lynching, over-militarizing the police. That's what's destroying our democracy. And the right wing says, no, we're restoring the democracy. Look over here at you, left wingers, creating socialism. This is government top down telling you what to do. Look at this vaccination program, determining that you have to get toxins injected into your body. How can you do that? You're becoming sheep. They couldn't call it sheeple. You're like sheeple. Wake up, wake up. Okay, the government is not the problem. Contrary to what Reagan said the government's a problem. Neoliberals think the government's a problem. Globalists think government is a problem. Elitists pretend to think the government is a problem. Government's not the problem. Government is in a sense an executor for industry interests. In other words, the government basically does whatever the industries that are in most prominent power are saying. Okay, so right now, Big Pharma is basically all Big Pharma insiders are filling up the government, so they're telling the government what to do. Government is going to go according to what Fauci says, and so on. Now, let me say, yeah, but that, see, when Trump was in, we didn't have that problem. No, but you had a fascist dictator wannabe. Whereas everybody had to please Trump. Where's a democracy in that? And from what we can see, from our observations from both sides of the political spectrum, the election of 2020 was legitimate. Even Trump mentioned it months ahead, prepared everybody on the right to say, no, if Trump loses, that can't be. It can't be. Trump is, one of the channel's friends said, no, Trump got, actually, if it hadn't have been for this problem with the voting machines, Trump would have gotten 75% of the vote. Not possible. But that's because the right wing will only believe what the right wing media tells it. It'll believe what Trump says. No questions. Whatever Tucker says, no questions. All right? Both sides have got to wake up that there's controlling forces from industry on both sides. The right is controlled and basically funded by the fossil fuel industry. That's why, and if you're a right-winger, you're going to say climate change is a hoax. Okay, so what we're saying here is this, is that the way out of this morass is for you to see both sides, to see what the definitions of some of the same words are. What's the definition of democracy? What's the definition of freedom? In other words, what does it really mean personally? What does freedom really mean? Look at the definitions, how they are defined. because on the left, socialism is defined very differently. It's democratic socialism, which means no strong dictator, right? Whereas on the right, they're saying, oh my gosh, socialism, big dictatorship, communism, big dictatorship, telling you what to do. There's definitions. On a spiritual level, there is a evolution towards oneness. Oneness is not communism or conformity. It's an Aquarian age concept. Oneness is being able to be an individual, true to yourself, unique, and belonging in community and working together in harmony with other people for common dreams. That's Aquarian age. That's what you want to get to. So, in your future, dream this. Dream that people from both sides learn how to use the terminology as it's used differently on both sides, fighting over what democracy is, until it becomes clear the lies on both sides, the media lies on both sides, the conformity, extreme conformity on both sides. And when you see that, you then can see, and that's what these two blogs were that we suggest you look at, then you see that everybody really wants the same thing. And then you can dream a future in which you give yourself that which you want, and you see yourself giving other people that which you want. Because everybody wants to have love. They want to have family. They want to have prosperity. They want to have a certain amount of freedom. They want to have opportunities. They want a level playing field so that they can thrive, that they can create and manifest. Not one that is dominated by monopolies. So everybody wants the same thing, except maybe the elites. The elites or the industry tops. These elites are not government. Okay, we have to clarify that for both sides. The elite are not the government. They're not the intellectuals out at universities who are proposing various things. No, the elites are the ultra-rich. They're the bankers, which have been funding the right wing more than the left until 2020, okay? The bankers, the fossil fuel industry, chemicals, technologies, medicine and big pharma and pharmaceutical research and products, drugs and vaccines and stuff. And if you look around at other industries that may not be quite as influential, don't buy off legislators quite as well, but there are other industries too. And then there's this whole concept that business, the neoliberal concept, that business and the free market will take care of everything. And that's simply not true. There needs to be regulation. So be aware that if you're a right-winger and you scream, no, no regulation, that's a fossil fuel industry telling you through their think tanks. They created the Tea Party. They can, through their think tanks, give all the directives of how to interpret everything so that you can see freedom for the big monopolies is freedom, is business. This is the way it should be. No, mm-mm. You've been screwed. You've been bamboozled. It's not trickle-down economics that never, ever works. Socialism with a dictator never works. There's a new form that's coming. And it's coming because the elites are screwing it up so badly that the people will eventually have to bond together and say no more. Dream that. Okay. Now, as we said earlier, when you dream something like that, you go into the future, you connect with that. That will start anchoring not just your own life, but your reality, your world, to that future. If you don't do that, you could very easily go down, and democracy will go down. And in the world situation of the family of nations, if the U.S. loses democracy, loses a vision of freedom and hope and opportunity, where's the backup? The U.S. has been the backup for decades. But where's the backup if the U.S. goes down? We need you to dream the new future, a harmonious future. It takes a lot of work to do that when you're so both sides, both bamboozled by the media. But you've got to break that. You've got to wake up both sides and realize how the media throughout the whole business, throughout the whole corporate system, and religion too, has made these elites up here at the top be able to live like tremendous kings and queens, while with money that does not get shared, it's hoarded at the top, and it doesn't allow for prosperity. I mean, look at it this way. The banks just make money up. And they don't let anybody else do that. Well, now you've got kind of cryptocurrency, but still hasn't quite found a real authentic grounding way yet for people to utilize. You can't really utilize it. But it's coming. All of this is coming. So to thrive during a chaotic time is about envisioning this future and getting out of the rage and the anger and terror and fear and getting out of those emotions and start seeing something, maybe even doing something yourself, you know? Okay. From Bunny, back in October you spoke about the Healy frequency device. Now they have an attachment called a coil coming out. I've used the Healy since November. The coil is for people who can't use microcurrents with the attachments, cables, or for others to almost continuously run a program one after another instead of waiting hours between programs. Can you comment on the safety of that or suggestions? Also, they say it's safe for people with pacemakers. Is it? Well, Bonnie, we don't have direct experience of the workings of the Healy frequency device. We would suggest that you ask these questions of whoever it is that sold it to you, and lacking the answers there, to go directly to the company and ask them. We just cannot give you any suggestions because the channel and Daniel do not have one themselves, and they haven't been working with it. So that's something that people who are in the know how to work with that can do. However, this is what we can say, is that in any kind of situation when you're dealing with a healing thing, particularly like a frequency device, what you do is that you just start low, and you pick it up. You do more. It's like even in a nutrition or a medication or something, you start small. You start a little bit. You try this. You try that on a small scale. Keep building it up. And it's called titrating up. You eventually find the right dose, the right frequency, times, involvements, et cetera, et cetera. You eventually find the right level for you. And understand, the level for you may be different from the level of other people. Okay, so You want to find how it fits personally for you. And we would suggest that you do that with guidance from other, from those who are more experienced, from the company or your upline or whatever. Okay? Thank you. All right. Now from Jeannie Harrington, I would like to know what Lexis recommends is how to navigate coming times in order to secure our financial stability. If time permits, what does Lexis recommend for calming worries about our personal health and safety? Okay. Well, we've already been talking about this a lot. It seems like that's the theme that showed up first. Navigating these coming times in order to secure financial stability. Well, if you are highly influenced by the markets, by what goes on in the financial, quote unquote, financial indicators of society, and you think, well, if it's financially going up, 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 if the stock market is doing well, are we going to be able to utilize this? Are we going to be able to build some stable wealth? What if something happens in the government and we qualify for Social Security, but we can't, but the Social Security funds get destroyed, then what are we going to do there? Okay. Aging. We're going to eventually become feeble and old, and somebody's going to have to take care of us. Are we going to have enough money to have someone take care of us, or are we going to be just throwaways? What's going to happen to us? Okay, now we're looking at it from the perspective of someone who perceives the future as being dismal, potentially dismal, and looking at the problems, just like we talked at the beginning, looking at the problems. So what can we do now to prevent those problems? So we would suggest that when you get the recording of this seminar, that you go back to the beginning and listen to our whole message about the future. Okay? Now we're going to take you on a little bit of a future journey. Okay, we're going to take you on a future journey today. This just got to happen. So start thinking right now, this very moment, of, you're looking at the aging beliefs where you're seeing that maybe your body is going through, it's not as strong, it's not as healthy, not as vital, not as comfortable as it used to be, or that there's just always some kind of health crisis that you're always having to work on and never gets on top of it, and you never seem to feel that you're getting better and younger and healthier and so on. We want you to know that financially too, you know, that there's going to be possibilities out there. Right now, you're seeing a lot of devastation that has come from the economic collapses around the pandemic and how the society has suffered from lockdown and the closures of restaurants and places where the young people normally, you know, start out. And the gig economy is just a terrible thing, really. And it's terrible because it puts in the gig economy, you don't have any building up of security for the future. It's like you survive from one gig to another. And you go do as many as you can, as fast as you can, and if there's competition, to compete as hard as you can, and so on. But there's nothing you're going to get out of it in the end. You're just going to survive, right? That's why we think it's really a bad setup. It works great, though, for the multi-billionaires at the top. It works great for the elite. Because when the gig economy, nobody can gather together and object to however they want to treat their workers. They're going to in a race to the bottom. Let's see how little we can pay to the workers. And if they can't survive on that, well, they'll go to the government and get food stamps. So I'll let the government take care of it. Then we can blame the government, you know, for whatever. But they've got you, the elite have you, fighting each other. And you don't see them. You just see the right-wingers and the left-wingers. You just see Trump and Biden. You just don't see who's really pulling the strings, right? So dreaming the future is going to be practical, okay? Practical. You've got to also know that there's the four foundations of the new world personally, the new luminous world, not the new world order. The luminous new world, the four foundational pieces are love, power or empowerment, freedom, and safety. Now, safety is really about trust. You've got to trust your divine plan. The world screams and hollers and, oh, everything's going terrible. Oh my God, there's so many problems. And there are. It's a sea of problems. It's a cauldron of turbulent problems going on all the time. And now that you have internet access to the world, and everybody seems to have a smartphone all around the world, you get feedback from what's going on everywhere now, just about, except there's some countries that are closed off, like North Korea and Afghanistan. You don't get too much input from places like that, where they're extreme dictatorships. Okay, so what we're seeing here is this. You can kind of sense easily love. Love. Love is the greatest healer. You want to keep your body up? Love. Love it. Love you. Okay? Power. Make powerful, informed choices for yourself. And if you have dependents for them. Power. Own your power. Take your power back energetically, emotionally, from this media on both sides. From all the chaos. From all the pain. Take your power back. Own that you are a powerful reality creator, and what you dream and what you envision makes a difference. Own it. Freedom. Be free to own who you are as a divine being. Freedom doesn't mean freedom from responsibility. With freedom comes, and power, comes responsibility. You don't go and hurt people. You don't go and manipulate people. You don't go and compare yourselves with other people. Compare yourself as being better than. That's ego. You don't do that kind of stuff. Freedom is about you being free to be yourself. It's not your freedom to do any damn thing you want to do. Your freedom ends with another person's life. You don't have the freedom to go and interfere and control and dominate other people. Both sides need to be aware of this. Freedom is allowing you to be who you are with responsibility, with love, with compassion, with empowerment. And we would say there'd be a lot of guys who are basically doing hate crimes. That's mainly coming from the right, the othering. Okay, those Asians, we hate them. They're bringing the virus. Those refugees, and they're taking government support away from us, taking jobs away from us. Not really. All of that kind of extremism that you've seen where guys will go out and shoot people. It's over 99% of it comes from right-wing stuff. These people that do that, yes, they're free to do that in a way, but that's not illegal. That's not responsible. That's not empowered. These people probably also eat very poorly. Their health, their microbiome in their gut inclines them towards depression, anxiety, fear, rage. And they're taking it out on somebody. They're trying to hurt somebody, thinking that somehow or another they'll get rid of the problem inside themselves. The freedom to carry, open carry. If it was in a correct context of responsibility, of loving compassion, of empowerment, and not seen as a way to dominate or to defend from an evil world, that context absolutely takes away the responsibility of that person who's free. They're no longer really free. Now they're bounded by their fear, bounded by their sense of, I must dominate or I must survive. And when you go around in a fear choice, wearing guns, it's not a good recipe for joy, for love, for freedom overall. It's not a good choice of freedom for other people. Freedom has to come in the correct context. It's a freedom of being that's the most important. Not the freedom to hurt others. Not the freedom to do whatever you want to do, whenever you want to do. If you want to destroy the environment, set fires, you're free. No. Mm-mm. If you want to say nasty things and cancel culture somebody, that's not freedom. That's immaturity. It's ego, but it's irresponsible. Responsibility means the ability to respond and also understanding that what you do, and awareness of yourself, what you do has an impact on other people. Same with people who don't want to get the vaccine. They've been shamed, condescended to, they've been blamed, people have been scared of them, just want to punish them, and so on. It's the same kind of game. That the freedom to choose whether you're going to do a vaccine and believe in the big pharma message and the industry mythology. If you want to believe that, fine. But if you don't believe big pharma mythology and you don't want to take a vaccine, it's not a point of being a rebel and hating that people are doing it. And the people who are getting the vaccine should not really be going and treating the unvaccinated like dirt. So freedom has to be, in a way, there has to be boundaries on freedom. Not limitations per se, because limitations can come with all sorts of dark beliefs and emotions and stuff like that. But with a boundaries of that is of caring and compassion and love. You can't really have true freedom without love. You can't have full love without some freedom. These four things, they have to work together. But the hardest one for most people to get is the trust. To trust, the universe is going to be there for you. When you are true to who you are on your spiritual path, the universe will support you. They will support you. when you make a choice from your heart. The universe will somehow or another support you. If you believe it will not, it can't. This is a free will universe. If you believe that, if you have a belief, limiting belief that says no, they're out there to get me, they're going to compete with me, they're going to take all my money away, I have to hoard my money, I have to watch over it really carefully or I'll lose it all. You're not free. How can you trust? How can you trust that the universe is going to be able to support you? It will. This is generally the last piece to come because it has to do with safety and feeling safe in your reality. When all day, every day the local news shows you the local mayhem, who got run over by a car, who got killed, the latest shooting, and there's so many of them now, okay. Are you going to believe now that the world is a violent, dangerous place and you need to get a weapon? Or are you going to be true to yourself and say, universe, support me? And if you can go there, and if you can do that, then you will not be where the reckless drunk driver is. You will not be where the angry guy with a gun is. You just won't be in that reality. And when it comes your turn to suffer, to be weak, there'll be someone there to help you. Something will be there for you. That said, also, there's so much going on, new inventions and so on in the world, that what we see is that, and it's already in some places, but the whole world's going to have it. You won't have to be debilitated and ill and messed up. It's the healing is coming. The techniques, the protocols, the real true medicine, not standard corporate industry medicine, which basically is about, you know, poison, cut, burn, whatever. It's kind of primitive. There's going to be much better ways, resources for healing, like the Healy device, like the channel in Daniel lie on their Bemer every day. Okay, it's a pulsed electromagnetic frequency machine, PEMF. It sets the resonance for them, so they're not so affected by radiation, cell phones, etc., etc. Okay. All right, so there's going to be answers for your personal health. Are you going to be able to accept it as part of your life? You need to create it. You need to do something about it. All right. We are here once again for more wonderful questions. Thank you, all of you who have contributed. We're sorry for those of you who put in your questions too late. We recommend, in the future when we do another Q&A, please try to get your questions in a little earlier because we can't get them in if you're sending them in the last very minute or even during the workshop. So we may not be able to get to everybody's questions, but we're going to give it a shot. So first we have one more question from our printout and then we'll go to the chat room. Okay, this is from Lorraine. Question, can Galexis comment on QAnon and the identity of Q? Also, any drastic changes coming in the stock market or real estate market? Well, this is a very quick one. Yes, QAnon is there's a bunch of guys. It's not just one person, but it's a bunch of guys who decided that they wanted to create a media phenomenon that would, in essence, mobilize and cement and put together the right wing, and it worked. They used old conspiracy theories from previous decades, century, put it together in a kind of an updated format. But we do want to mention that their original premise was that they're insiders, that they were top Democrats, and say they know all the details, and they know all what's going on and all the horrible, lurid things that the top Democrats do. And we'd say that this is all made up. We can say it's that they were not prominent Democrats. They were not prominent politically. They don't know the inner secrets. And it's been shown, although the followers of QAnon will deny it, but the top Democrats, the top Hollywood celebrities are not running sex trafficking rings on drinking blood of children. Okay, it's just not happening. But if you can get a whole bunch of people to believe it and respond and react as if it were true, then you've got a lot of media control there. And that's part of what we're talking about, media control on the right. QAnon has an awful lot to do with envisioning taking your enemies and executing them. And we would say that this is probably the most destructive thing to democracy that we're seeing. Lots happened politically over the past, 40 years or so. And the reason why is because there's no transparency, no responsibility. There's no love. There is no spiritual purpose. There's no love and compassion. There's no spiritual purpose. It is mainly meant to get people on the right to circle the wagons and do whatever they want. They want them to get into militias. They want them to see themselves as rebels and so on. It's a kind of a palliative to a whole bunch of wounded male egos that set this whole thing in motion. So it's unfortunate that so many on the right totally believe everything that they say, when hardly anything that they have ever said or predicted has come to pass. It's just, if anything, it's basically all a kind of a fantasy, and we're sad about it. We're sad about it. It's if you want really good revelations and of truth, then go to, for example, Robert Kennedy's Children's Health Defense. That really exposes the corruption of the pharmaceutical industry, where they put profits way, way, way above people. Right? If you really want to see good conspiracies being revealed, then go there. Right? So anyway, that's what we're going to stop there, because really, it's not worth really talking about. Again, you got to vision a whole different future where there's actually some integrity on both sides. All right. Okay, drastic changes coming in the stock market or real estate market. Well, there have already been some drastic changes. There's a lot of upheaval. As far as the stock market is concerned, the elites want the stock market to keep going up, 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 up. Even the elites, for the most part, do not profit very well when the stock market crashes. Although they don't take the losses like some of the suckers who buy into stocks and companies just before they fall, but nevertheless, we say it's that while there's a lot of turbulence, the stock market will pretty much stay intact from what we can see. There are factors. The Fed is really working on that, and also if the American stock market goes down and crashes, then it brings the rest of the world down, like it did back in 2008. So they really want to keep the economy going. They don't want to do the bubble burst again. There is a kind of a bubble happening in the real estate market, but nothing like what was back in 2008. The real estate market is probably over the next 6 months will peak, and then there will be some kind of shifts going on. But we don't really see what those are. It's really hard to say because this is a visionary year. The future is very undetermined. And so here's what we would suggest is that you determine and decide what you want. You know, it can be that easy, dear ones. You know, don't scoff at it. You know, decide what do you want? What do you want the stock market to do? What do you want, you know, the real estate market to do? Yeah, right now it's out of control. Both of them are out of your own personal control. But start taking your power back from all the bad news out there and start envisioning, okay, what would it be like if I could really trust and know that it's going to be okay? It's all going according to some plan. I don't know the plan, but it's all going to turn out just fine for me. Okay? So keep that. All right, so what question do we talk with next? Daniel has it this time.
Okay, well, hello everybody. Sally wants to know, when will we have free energy or cold fusion as an energy source that is readily available? And Carl says, and who will develop it so I can invest now? And Sally says, Carl, great question. Anyway, there you go.
Well, it's so nice that you approve of each other's questions. That's great. All right, the conversation continues. All right, so there's going to be all sorts of inventions going on to get you to a place to where you have inexpensive free energy or near free. There is a recognition that this has to happen, and it cannot be at the expense of the environment anymore. So we can see that while the oil industry and the fossil fuel industry is holding on for dear life and trying to manipulate and control down to the very last moment, it really is going to, in a sense, it's going to phase out. It takes a certain investment, though. The government invested in fossil fuel industry big time, and that with a whole bunch of very wealthy men created the fossil fuel industry. And seeing that the fossil fuel industry kind of created America's, you know, the United States' domination of energy in the world, and it helped bring the U.S. corporations bringing domination. It's like like England has been so judged because it was a colonial empire, and it did treat the other nations that it conquered and controlled and dominated very badly. But the U.S. also did it through corporations, went out into other countries with the corporations and basically have collapsed economies and cultures and so forth all the way around the world. And one of the key pieces that the elite see as American domination, and the right wing is much more excited about this than the left, but it sees that, you know, what domination and monopolies that American industry can do to succeed in competition against Russia and China and so on. And the big thing seems to be fossil fuel. While it's still in demand. So what we're seeing here is this, is that there is no incentive from the top at all to go into more inexpensive forms of energy. And there's been a lot of sabotage that's been made on of any kind of companies or ideas that could possibly be bringing in cold fusion or alternative sources of energy that are inexpensive. They've been basically just, you know, wiped out of the market in order for you to be able to get funding, you have to have research. In order to get money for research, you have to have funding. And normally the government does that, but the government's been very, very stingy on anything besides fossil fuel industry. So this has to shift, and this is in the process of beginning to shift. We noticed that Biden went a little bit far into the shift, and so industry has pulled him back a little bit. He's pulled back on the environment, he's pulled back on alternative energies and fuels and stuff. So it depends on how much manipulation that industry can have on the government, which it generally tends to control a lot of. So that'll be determined the timing. But the people want it. The people want cheap, free energy. They want energy that they can use. While industry resists solar, wind, they'll continue with water. But there's so much resistance in industry that this is part of the thing what you were talking about earlier. Industry is really what's divided the political spectrum. If you divide and conquer, okay, the industry is conquered by dividing, right? So that at least there is a growing step towards climate change rectification, which actually means that there can be regulation on industry and there can be support for other cheaper, safer forms and non-fossil fuel forms of energy. It's a slow process, but it's coming, okay? And the thing is that it's not clear right now what's going to be the really dominant one, because what we're seeing is that solar is really probably the best of them. The windmills exact a terrible toll on birds, so that may not be a really good one. They've got all these mirrors out in the desert reflecting sun and creating energy that way. There's going to be a concentration there. At some point, they're going to be able to get a lot more energy out of a smaller surface. And it's in the process of coming. We don't know who's going to be doing that. But if you look online, you probably will find somewhere some industry that's doing that. There are industries also that are working with cold fusion. There's one, in fact, that the Channel and Daniel invested some money in that has created actual demonstrated cold fusion, and it's safe. What it would be that maybe three or four or five houses would share a station that would generate all the electrical energy for all of them. And so it would be very decentralized. Of course, this is going to have some resistance from the industry, which does not like decentralization. They want it centralized with them at the top. They want to be dominant at the top of the hierarchy. So this whole thing with dissolving the hierarchy is really the path on the political level, on the industrial level, on the economic level, on the people level, everything. That's going to have to take place. That's part of bringing the feminine back in to balance with the masculine, to create a harmonious whole, to bring the oneness, to bring the Aquarian age. It's just part of the process. So dream that, if you will. Add that into your imagination, okay? Because we do see that there's going to be all sorts of ingenious inventions, you know, where they're even using seaweed in the ocean, and they can get a tremendous amount of fuel off of that, that they can grow seaweed farms and do a tremendous amount there. Lots of sources of energy on this planet, lots of source, okay? Now, the basic source of energy on the planet is the sun, So anytime you can harness the energy of the sun, you're going to get some energy. Okay? So we sense that the breakthroughs and the inventions and the innovations are going to be coming fast and furious over the next 5 to 7 years. And you probably see that within 10 years, you will have this type of access to safer, easier, cheaper, non-polluting energy sources. Who to invest with, we don't know yet. But if you go online and you go and look at, you know, solar technology, developments in solar technology, developments in cold fusion, and so on, if you watch, you might find companies that are doing it. The channel also watches this, has a newsletter that comes in with good news, and very often they'll highlight a really good new invention for energy and so on. And she's been saving those so that she can use those for imagination and use those for future dreaming. So maybe you might want to start your own collection. All right. Okay, thank you. Next.
Okay, so Val says, oh, now something covered it up here. A little window came in. Val says, what part will joy and happiness play in the emerging new world? Of course, a lot.
Yes, of course, a lot. Joy and happiness. Can you tune in? Just, we're asking you all, not just Val, okay? Tuning in. Can you tune in to what is the feeling of joy? There's an exhilaration. There's love in it. There's absolute ecstasy in it. There's a lift of spirit in it. Joy is beyond the demands of necessity. Joy is the exploration of freedom into and expanding into possibility. Joy can come with a fabulous idea or breakthrough. Joy can come when you've just felt like you've hit the love jackpot. When you've been touched by the divine, when you've been touched by love. Joy, when you've created something that just is an expression of your heart, of your mind, of yourself. Joy. Our recommendation is to tune into joy. Can, just by our talking about it, can you sense it? Can you kind of tune into joy? Joy is an inherent vibration to be put into your future dreams, into your dream future, so that you're on that track, a track leading to more joy, not to more fear, rage, terror, anger, frustration, despondency, depression, and loss. That's the dark future. Don't look at that future. You can look at that future intellectually during your day to decide what you prefer to have in your reality, but don't spend any time there. Spend time on joy. Spend time on imagining joy. Spend on imagining love, empowerment, freedom, and safety, trusting the divine plan. Put your energies there. Now, happiness is that you have enough. And once you really own who you are and allow the universe to support you, you will always have happiness. You will have enough. Your needs will be covered. You will have enough. How peaceful is that? No worries there. No competition and stress and hurry. No hurry disease, right? Ah, happiness. Now, of course, it helps if you have a good diet and you have adequate fat in your diet. If your microbiome, your gut flora are all messed up, You might have plenty of money, but you won't be happy, because the gut is all about stress, worry. But if you practice joy and happiness, deliberately imagining it, you can also help cultivate some of the good bacteria in your gut that can give you a sense of satiation, of comfort, feeling good, right? So joy and happiness, yes, they play a powerful role. Thank you, Val.
So Jeannie wants to know, with the new energies, what can Galexis recommend as maybe some new ways to maintain better health and longevity on our own?
All right, well, now we already talked about that to some extent. So what we'll add to that at this point is that for health and longevity, you want to make it a kind of a personal project. First, you want to know and choose to live long. Why do you want to live long? What purpose do you want to live long for? Because if you don't have a desire to live long, independent of how you feel today, okay, physically, emotionally, whatever, if you don't have a desire for it, but you think it's a good thing, I should want to live long, and so on, then you've got to get really clear in yourself, why do you want to live long? Now, one of the things that we have seen and the channel has seen in the future is that there's going to be some people who are going to become immortals. Basically, they're going to be able to sustain their bodies without degeneration indefinitely. The technology for doing that is coming within the next... it's going to be here within the next 7 to 8 years, looks to us. It's not going to be for everyone. At first, it's only going to be for the super rich. But the technology will come... But it won't be able to be that successful until it's divorced from the money, okay? At one point, everyone will have the option for it. Not the very poor, not those who are struggling to survive, but some spiritual people are going to choose it in order to bring in the luminous new world for everyone, that they will need to live long and prosper, right? And so they may be living for, there is a capacity for the human body to live for, hundreds of years. But it hasn't been tapped because the cultures became very patriarchal, corporate, top-down religion, the crap conspiracy, as the channel refers to it, corporate, religious, Aryan for, white race, and patriarchy. Okay, the crap. She calls that the crap conspiracy. Until somehow or another it's freed from that, it won't be ready for everybody. But some people will choose it as they healed the culture, as they heal the society, as they bring, as they go from democracy into even more refined, positive social and political structures to help the transition. There'll be some very old wise ones, okay? But for most people, they're not going to do that. There's just not going to be that many doing that. But you will have that access in a few more years. Now, you have some of that now. If you look at physically, emotionally, mentally, and spiritually, you actually allow yourself to own your divine nature in these four areas, you will see that you can heal just about anything that comes up for yourself. And as you dispose of limiting beliefs that come from the collective, you become freer and freer and freer. Okay. So, and that's part of why we talked about free will in this month's video blog. All right, so yes, it's coming. You just have to have a sense of purpose for it. Back in last year, in was it April, perhaps, where we in April 2020 was it that we talked about spiritual antibodies. We talked about how cultural and emotional factors determine whether you get the COVID, whether you're sick, whether you're well, all that kind of stuff, and you can build your immune system energetically, psychically, spiritually, emotionally, and then it will become strong and resilient physically as well. And so you may want to refer to that particular blog just to build up your system, okay?
Okay, so this is the last question.
All right.
And it's from our friend Nicholas. And he says, some spiritual teachers have told me I need to let go of my adolescent dreams. I am perplexed because my adult dreams for myself is exactly the same as my adolescent had for me. How can I let go of my adolescent dreams?
All right. Well, there is a major difference between your adult dreams and your adolescent dreams, and that is your level of maturity. Right. So if you are owning your maturity, if you really allow yourself to grow up as a spiritual being, emotional being, physical being, if you really allow yourself to be mature with responsibility, empowerment, freedom, and safety, trust, okay? If you are owning your adult self and the dreams that you have as your adult self, okay, these dreams may look the same as your adolescent dreams, but they're not. What we could suggest, though, is for you to go back to your adolescent self and look at, why did he dream those dreams? What was his identity as those dreams? Who was he wanting to be? How was he wanting his life? What was his ego like? What was it in it for him? Okay, go back and check that out with your adolescent self, because that's going to give you the key to making sure that the current dreams as the adult are not your adolescent dreams, because you need to take out your adolescent ego, your adolescent sense of purpose, the lack of knowing about the world that your adolescent had, the fantasy of things, that to letting that go. You're wiser now. And also to look at your adolescent with a lot of compassion. But, you know, a lot of people get their life dreams in adolescence. That's when the dreams start coming in. It's basically later in the later adolescent. But some people have their dreams, bang, right early. Some people have their dreams in childhood. Okay, so go find the source person, the source self, the one who started the dreams. It may not have even been your adolescent. It could have been your eight-year-old. You know, just go look. And just recognize the immaturity of that, even though the dreams might have had a sense of purpose, a sense of direction, given them a sense of vision. You want to take out all of that is child, adolescent, young adult mentality, emotionality, and come back to the present. And as an adult, what are your interests? As an adult, do you have adolescent child interests? Go and look at that. What is the point of that? Where does that fit anymore? You want to let go of your adolescent self, but maintain a certain connection with your young adult, who is the visionary of generally of most people, who is imaginative, who is very creative. But you want to stay in your adult, true adult self. You want to make sure that you're mature, that you've grown up. If somehow along the line you realize that there's a lot of growth you haven't done, then apply yourself to doing it. If the place where you need to grow more is in your finances, yeah, or in your relationships, or in your body, yeah, work on that. Absolutely. Work on it as a loving, empowered, free adult being. And then you can check, and then you can see whether your adult dreams are actually adult dreams. Okay?